This is Truth of Life coming to you live on Ray Power Network. You can also listen to this program on www.raypowerradio.com. In order to convey to mankind such knowledge which gives them a clear and intelligible conviction of the working of God in His justice and love, I have written the work In the Light of Truth, which leaves no gap, contains the answer to every question, and clearly shows to mankind how wonderful are the ways in creation that are upheld by many servants of His will. But God alone is holy. Words of Abrushin, author of the Grail Message. Good evening and welcome to Truth of Life, a deep and incisive program based on the work In the Light of Truth, the Grail Message. The Grail Message is a new spiritual revelation of the truth given to mankind by the author Abrushin. It explains the will of God, which manifests as the adamantine and incorruptible laws of creation. This message does not bring a new religion and is intended as a torch to guide all serious seekers to the light and their longed-for height, which is paradise. It is addressed to honest seekers only, for only such shall find. I am Dr. Tunde Agboola. A reading from the Grail Message is now brought to you. The author of the Grail Message says, and I quote, concluding the lecture, awake. An eternal law operates in the universe that only in giving can one receive where lasting values are concerned. Like a sacred legacy of its creator, this law deeply permeates the whole of creation. To give unselfishly, to help where help is needed, and to understand both the suffering and the weaknesses of your fellow men means to receive, because it is the simple and true way to the highest. And to will this seriously brings you immediate help and strength. One single honest and ardent wish to do good, the wall which your thoughts have hitherto erected as a barrier is cleaved as with a flaming sword from the other side that is now still invisible to you. For you are indeed one with the beyond, which you so fear, deny, or long for. You are closely and inextricably linked with it. Try it. For your thoughts are the messengers you send forth, which return heavily laden with similar thought forms, good or evil, as the case may be. This actually happens. Remember that your thoughts are realities that shape themselves spiritually, often becoming forms outliving the earth life of your body. Then much will become clear to you. Thus, it is quite rightly said, for their works will pursue them. Thought creations are works which will one day await you, which form light or dark rings around you, which you must traverse in order to enter the spiritual world. Neither protection nor intervention can help in this, because the decision lies with you. Therefore, you yourself must take the first step in everything. This is not difficult. It lies solely in evolution, which expresses itself through thoughts. Thus, you carry heaven or hell within you. You are free to decide, but you are then irrevocably subject to the consequences of your thoughts, of your volition. You yourselves create these consequences, and that is why I exhort you. Keep the heart of your thoughts pure. By so doing, you will bring peace and be happy. Do not forget that every thought you produce and send out attracts all similar thoughts on its way, or attaches itself to others, thus continually increasing in strength, and finally also reaching a goal. A human brain, which is perhaps off its guard just for a moment, thereby offering such floating thought forms the opportunity to penetrate and operate. Just consider what responsibility will fall upon you if at some time or other the thought becomes a deed through some person whom it was able to influence. This responsibility already arises through the fact that every single thought keeps a constant link with you, just as if by an unbreakable thread, so as to return with the strength gained on its way, either to burden you or to bring you joy, according to the kind you produced. Thus, you stand in a world of thoughts, and according to your way of thinking at the time, make room for similar thought forms. Do not therefore waste the power of thinking, but gather it for defense and for keen thinking, which goes forth like spears and affects everything. Thus, create out of your thoughts the holy spear, which fights for the good, heals wounds, and furthers the whole of creation. Adjust your thinking, therefore, towards activity and progress. To do this, you must shake many a pillar supporting traditional ideas. Often, it is some concept wrongly understood that hinders man from finding the right way. He must return to the starting point. One flash of light will destroy the whole structure so painfully erected over decades, and following a shorter or longer period of stunned inertia, it will make a fresh start. It must do so, for there is no standing still in the universe. Let us take, for instance, the concept of time. Time passes, times change. We hear this said everywhere, and automatically a picture arises in the spirit. We see changing times marching past us. This picture becomes so ingrained that for many it also forms a solid foundation on which they continue to build, adjusting their whole research and speculation to it. Before long, however, they encounter obstacles which contradict each other. However hard they try, not everything will fit in. They lose their way, leaving gaps that can no longer be filled in spite of all their pondering. Many then believe that in such places, faith must act as a substitute for the failure of logical reasoning. But this is wrong. Man should not believe in things he cannot grasp. He must try to understand them, for otherwise, he opens wide the door to errors, and with errors, the truth is always debased. To believe without understanding is just indolence, mental laziness. It does not lead the spirit upwards, but presses it down. Look upward. Therefore, we are to test and investigate. Not for nothing does the urge to do so lie within us. Time. Does it really pass? Why does one encounter obstacles when thinking more deeply about this axiom? Simply because the fundamental idea is wrong. For time stands still. We, however, hurry towards it. We rush into time, which is eternal, and seek the truth in it. Time stands still. It remains the same today, yesterday, and 1,000 years hence. Only the forms change. We plunge into time to call from our records for the purpose of enriching our knowledge from what has been collected there. For time has lost nothing. It has recorded all things. It has not changed because it is eternal. You too, O man, are always just the same, whether you appear young or old. You remain what you are. Have you not already sensed this yourself? Do you not clearly notice a difference between the form and your innermost self? Between the body that is subject to change and you, the spirit, which is eternal? You seek the truth. What is truth? What you still feel to be truth today, you will recognize even tomorrow as error, in which, however, you will later again discover grains of truth. For the manifestations also change their forms. Thus, your seeking continues. Yet, amid these changes, you mature. Truth, however, remains always the same. It does not change, for it is eternal. And being eternal, it can never be clearly and truly grasped by the earthly senses, which are familiar only with the change of forms. Therefore, become spiritual, free from all earthly thoughts, and then you will possess the truth, will stand in the truth, and will bathe in it, constantly surrounded by its pure light, for it will envelop you completely. As soon as you become spiritual, you will swim in it. Then you need no longer study so painstakingly what science has to offer, nor need you fear errors, but you will already have the answer to every question in the truth itself. Moreover, you will no longer have any questions, because without thinking, you will know all things, will embrace all things, because your spirit will live in the pure light, in the truth. Therefore, become spiritually free. Burst all the fetters that hold you down. If obstacles present themselves, welcome them joyfully, for they show you the way to freedom and strength. Look upon them as gifts from which you will benefit, and you will overcome them with ease. Either such obstacles are put in your way to teach and develop you, in which case you add to the means of your ascent, or they are the reaction to some debt you have incurred, which you can redeem in this way, and thus free yourselves. In other case, they help you to advance. Therefore, set out to meet them with a bold heart. It is for your own good. It is foolish to talk of reverses of fortunes or of trials. Every conflict and every sorrow means progress. Men are thus offered the opportunity to dispel the shadows of former misdeeds, for not a single farthing can be remitted to the individual, because here also The cycle of the eternal laws in the universe is inflexible. The Creative Father will reveals himself in them and thereby forgives us and dispels all darkness. So clearly and wisely is everything arranged that the minutest swerving from this would have to plunge the world into ruins. But what of the man who has very much to redeem from former times? Must he not then despair? Will he not tremble at the thought of the misdeeds he has to atone for? As soon as he honestly wills, he can hopefully and gladly begin with it, free from all worry. For a balance can be brought about by the countercurrent of the power of good volition, which, like other thought forms, takes life in the spiritual, forging a strong weapon capable of removing every dark burden, every weight, and leading the innermost self towards the light. Power of volition, a force unsuspected by so many, attracting similar powers like a never-failing magnet. It grows like an avalanche. Uniting with similar spiritual forces, it works backwards, again reaching the starting point, thus the origin, or rather the producer, uplifting him high to the light, or pressing him deeper into the mud and filth, exactly in accordance with what the author himself originally willed. He who is acquainted with this steady, never-failing reciprocal effect inherent in all creation, which manifests and unfolds itself with absolute certainty, knows how to make use of it. He must love it and fear it. Gradually, the invisible world around him becomes alive to him, for he feels its influence so distinctly that it silences all doubt. If he pays only a little attention to it, he must intuitively sense the strong waves of ceaseless activity that affect him from out of the great universe. Finally, he feels himself the focal point of strong currents, like a lens that absorbs the rays of the sun, concentrating them on one point and producing a combustive power which can burst forth to singe and destroy, but also to heal, animate, and bring blessing, and likewise can start a blazing fire. And you too are such lenses, capable through your volition of gathering these invisible power currents that reach you and sending them forth as a united force for good or evil, to bring blessing or indeed destruction to mankind. Through this, you can and should light a blazing fire in the souls of men, a fire of enthusiasm for the good, for the noble, and for perfection. This requires only a strength of volition, which in a certain sense makes man lord of creation and master of his own fate. It is man's own volition which brings him destruction or redemption, reward or retribution with inexorable certainty. Do not fear then that this knowledge will alienate you from the Creator or weaken your present faith. On the contrary, the knowledge of these eternal laws, which you can put to use, makes the entire work of creation appear even more sublime to you. Its magnitude forces him who searches more deeply to his knees in veneration. Man will then never wish for evil things. He will joyfully grasp at the best support that exists for him: love. Love for the whole wonderful creation, and love for his neighbor that he too may be led to the glory of this enjoyment, of this consciousness of power. End of quote. Just listening to a reading from the Grail Message. This is Fruit of Life, a deep and incisive program based on a walk in the light of truth, the Grail Message. Copies of the Grail Message can be obtained on Grail Land, Edu Hills, Lagos, Grail Centers, and Grail Information Centers nationwide, and also at major bookshops. Public lectures are also organized from time to time. You are cordially invited to public lectures based on the Grail Message. Date: Sunday, 20th of April, 2014. Venue: Assembly Hall, Grail Land, Edu Hills, Lagos. Topic: The Word Rings Out. Time of lecture: 4 p.m. Also, on Sunday, 27th of April, 2014, venue of lecture is OGS Plaza, Ajumon Bus Stop, Ajumon, that's in Lagos. The topic is in Yoruba language, also based on a Grail Message. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. And on Sunday, 27th of April, venue of lecture, Top Stars Nursery and Primary School, along Mararaba, Old Karu Road, Mararaba, near Abuja. Topic is based on the Grail Message. Time of lecture, 4 p.m. At the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now we enter the interactive segment of this program. For genuine seekers who wish to interact with us, the telephone numbers are 0705-298-0298. Again, 0705-298-0298. Or 0805-944-1123. 0805-944-1123. And for your text messages, 0803-315-7493. We have some text messages. Somebody writes, "Who is the author of the Grail Message? Is he a prophet, a servant, or messenger of God?" Now, the author of the Grail Message, his name is Abrushin. And he gave his Grail Message to mankind. And to know who Abrushin is, you will have to examine his work. The Grail Message comes in three volumes, volume 1, 2, and 3. If you are a genuine seeker, get a copy of the Grail Message, examine that work, and then you then come to know who the author of the great message is. All right, we have a caller. Agodi is calling from Abuja. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you are on.
Yeah, I want to know air, fire, and heaven. How does it work? And who goes there?
Air, fire, and heaven.
How does it work? And who can go there?
All right. Hellfire exists, all right, but hellfire, hell is not a divine institution. Hell came into existence when human beings started to disobey the laws of the Almighty Creator. And with that, a new section was added to the ethereal world. Now, the ethereal world is the temporary place for the earthly departed. That ethereal world is not paradise. It is part of the material world. Now, that ethereal world is the next plane when we leave this flesh. But when men started to disobey, a new section was added to that. That is the dark plains of the ethereal beyond. And that is the so-called hell. It has various planes depending on the degree or the density of the darkness. And as to heaven, heaven is the spiritual kingdom. We all came from there. We started our journey from the spiritual plane as unconscious spirit seed. But we needed development. We could not stay in our home, paradise. We needed development. And so a place was provided for us, and that is the material world, which is the place designed for the development of the human spirit seeds. So we are incarnated here in the material so that through experiencing and learning to recognize the laws of our Creator, we can then grow in maturity in spirit until we are able to become perfect in spirit, and then the gate of paradise can be opened for us. So that is it. So hell exists, heaven also exists. But if you really want to know more about it, you should get a copy of the Great Message and examine it. All right, another text message here. What is the true story behind the story of Adam and Eve and their life in the Garden of Eden and the Satan tempting them? Adam and Eve is an allegory, is a pictorial rendering of the coming into the material world of man and woman. Not that there was one man, one woman, but there were several. But Adam represents male, Eve represents female. We'll continue that after taking this call. Tony is calling from Agbara. Tony.
Hello.
You are on, Tony.
I'm on.
Yes, go on.
Hello.
You are on.
Tony from Agbara.
All right, go on. Go on, please. Go on with your question.
All right. Is it right to have a family planning or an abortion? I want to know, have more knowledge about that.
All right. It is right to have family planning. You should only plan for the amount of children you can adequately cater for. So, yes, children are a blessing, but it is not that you should just have children that you cannot actually cater for. So, family planning is correct. But as for abortion, it is wrong for abortion. When abortion is done, what has been done there is that you have deprived a soul the opportunity of a dwelling place. That is, we have destroyed that body that soul is going to use. If it is done before the incarnation of the soul, which takes place in the middle of pregnancy, you have destroyed the dwelling place. If it is done after that, you have actually murdered a soul. Yeah, okay. We have Christopher calling from Nasarawa. Go on. We are listening. Go on with your question.
My own problem is that you should talk to your grammar. You should talk to your grammar.
All right. Okay. It's all right. Okay.
I need to talk to
her. Okay. We are.
Talk to your grammar.
Okay. It's all right. We've heard that. Yes, so back to the question about Adam and Eve. Back to that question concerning Adam and Eve. So it's not that one man or one woman, but several were incarnated at that time, both male and female. And then the human couple, they knew the law, but they allowed themselves to be tempted by Lucifer. Lucifer himself was an archangel sent down to help man in his development. But while working in matter, a new volition came to him. Instead of helping and tending the plants entrusted to him as a good gardener, what he's supposed to do, he decided to put before them the principle of temptation, that anyone who fails should be destroyed, but he who is able to overcome that temptation is free to go. That principle lacks love, and that was what tore Lucifer. And so, but Lucifer himself knew the law. He cannot force man to do his bidding. He can only tempt man. He knew that man must make a decision, a personal decision. And therein lies the responsibility of man. He must make a decision to do this or do that, and is bound to the consequences of those decisions. All right, we have Uchenna from Iba.
Yes, good evening, Doctor.
Good evening.
I have two questions to ask, Doctor.
All right, go on.
Yeah, one is that can anything happen to somebody without the approval of the Almighty? That's the one question. And secondly, sometimes people say when you have a dream, when you are doing something, you are doing
to do what if you have a dream?
I think when you have a dream, yes, that you are maybe you are in a high school or whatever, you're doing something within your village, there is typically to be a setback. Is that true?
All right, okay. Now, when you talk about can something happen to somebody without the approval of the Almighty, we must make this clear. We have to understand the fact that the Almighty is not in any way involved in the daily affairs of man. He's not. He has put his creation into place and his perfect laws. So he is not concerned about what man does or what he does not do. The laws are perfect. And so, and that law stipulates that what you sow is what you reap. It is in that respect you can say that anything that happens, it is known to the Lord. But it is not him that is now dictating how your life will be. It lies with man. He has a free will. He has a volition to do what he wants. But he's bound to the consequences. Okay, Victor is calling from Igodo.
Hello?
Yes, you are on. Victor?
Hello, sir?
Yes, you are on. You are on. Go on. We
Hello?
Are listening to you. Are you not listening?
Okay, I'm listening, sir.
Oh, yeah, go on now.
I was asking, I said a child was born out of wedlock. And the Christian, the parents are from the Christian background. But this child is being grown up or is grown up from the street based on certain circumstances. Is there any psychological effect on that? Because I want to believe that maybe it might cause that child to be miserable in life. What can be the remedy to bring that back, to bring that child back to the real Christian home?
All right, a child that is born out of wedlock. Everything depends on what is the circumstances, because when a man and a woman are engaged in sexual act, what is going on in their minds? Is it out of true love they are having that act, or out of sinful lust. That will not determine what soul they will attract to each other or to themselves. But the issue about how a child is born is not as important as the opportunity that child is given. Every child, every birth is a special grace from the Almighty. So the parent in this case must take adequate care of such a child, and if they do not, they will now also bind themselves to such a child for the neglect they have caused. All right, but Sam is calling from Port Harcourt. All right, Sam calling from Port Harcourt wants to know where he can get copies of the Grace Message. For those in Port Harcourt, the Grace Center in Rivers State is at, for Port Harcourt, go to Omachi Guest House Road. That is the Grace Center, Omachi Guest House Road, opposite Rumo Okoro Police Station, Rumo Odumaya. You can get copies of the Grace Message there. Or in Okrika, there is a Grace Information Center. It's at plot 15, Ile Lane, behind National Secondary School, Green Polo. That's in Okrika Island. Okay. Now, to the second question Mr. Uchenna asked concerning dreams. Now, you must know that dreams themselves are the true experiences of the human spirit, provided they are genuine dreams. You have to distinguish between genuine dreams and false dreams. Genuine dreams are those dreams that take place where there is no utterance of words or sentences, but only pictures, even though the participants, they understand each other. But when words and sentences occur, that's a false dream. Mr. Ede is calling from Enugu. Mr. Ede. Good evening.
I think a man is a woman to marry a woman, or a man to marry a man. Because for this our religion, we are being sick now to keep mouth shut. Because we are fast. Thank you.
All right. For man to marry man. That is, of course, very wrong. That is very wrong. Or woman to marry woman is very, very wrong. But again, it is in keeping with the times. At this time, we all stand. All that is wrong, as well as all that is right, will be strengthened, and they must come into activity, so that which is wrong will now receive the judgment blows it deserves, and while the one that is good will now be further strengthened. When it is said that all that is dead shall be awakened, so that it may pass judgment upon itself, this is it. All that is dead means all that is slumbering within man. It's not all dead people, but all that is within man that is yet without activity. Due to the increased pressure of the power of God that is poured into creation in this period of judgment, everything must come to activity. Everything within man must show itself. That is why today you are seeing gay marriage and lesbian marriage and all that. All that is within man, you must come and show it, so that each will now receive the blows of judgment it deserves. Okay, more text messages here. Yes. Now, what about somebody saying this, a woman who is impregnated by an armed robber during a raid, is it right to keep such a pregnancy or to terminate it before it becomes a full-blown child? Irrespective of the nature or what caused the pregnancy, it is wrong to to terminate. The only exception is perhaps maybe if the life of the woman is in danger. We must remember, it lies really with the woman, most especially because of her own nature. She has a high, delicate, intuitive ability. Because of her psychic nature, she is primarily responsible for the souls that are being born. So even in such cases, and if she stands in knowledge, she will, even in such a case, still attract a good soul at the proper hour. But it is not right to terminate a pregnancy. Now, another question here. He said, did Jesus, Judas Iscariot, make heaven? Well, Judas Iscariot, everybody blames Judas Iscariot. Of course, Judas Iscariot did something that was very wrong. He betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ. But whether he will make heaven or not is another matter. Even though we may have done something wrong, but the Lord also gives us the opportunity to make amends and correct ourselves. God says, calling from Abia State. Hello? Hello? God say, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, go on, please, with your question.
Hello?
Yes, go on.
Yes, I'm here.
Go on with your question.
I want to really know.
Go on. All right, the telephone numbers to call, again, 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. Again, 0705-298-0298 or 0805-944-1123. More text messages here. Somebody writes, in what way can we cooperate with the elemental beings? Is it by caring about them or decorating our environment with it? Now, the elemental beings are creatures of the Almighty. They are in charge of the elements, whether it concerns water, fire, earth, or the soil, or the wind, or whether it concerns the trees, the rivers, the stones, and so on. These elemental beings are the master builders. They build the house of God, while we human beings are the guests in the house. Now, we as guests in this house of creation, we must remain as agreeable guests in this house. So, to understand that question, let's just relate it to, if you are a guest in somebody's house, you know that in order to be an agreeable guest, you must obey the order of the house. You know, when the house wake up, when they serve the breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know that you do not make the environment dirty. You know that if as an agreeable guest, you don't come at any time of the day to enter the house. You come in enter through window or try to destroy the house. So that is how we have to be an agreeable guest. But to do that, it is very, very important for us to learn to recognize the laws that are laid down in this house of creation. That is our great responsibility. The laws of creation, we need to know them, to recognize them, so that we can now adjust our life accordingly. It is only then that we can now cooperate with these master builders who are the elemental beings and who are the ones who prepare the path of the Atman, the human soul, as well as the human spirit. Okay, we have somebody calling from Abuja. Hello? Yes, what's your name, please? Okay, all right, go on with your question. Your voice is not clear. Can you speak louder?
I'm asking about reincarnation.
Reincarnation, okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right, okay, we talk about reincarnation. So listen to the radio for the response. Okay, reincarnation truly exists. It is a great grace of the Almighty, giving to every human being the opportunity to... giving the opportunity to make amend or correct our mistakes, because one earth life is not sufficient for us to complete our development. So but we come again and again because we fail to recognize the laws or to learn our lessons, and that necessitates our coming again and again. But there is a time limit for all this coming from the beyond to this world and still going back to the beyond without ever even entering into the ethereal beyond where we start our journey to our home paradise. So reincarnation exists, but we must learn to recognize that it is not forever. It's not forever. All right, Mr. Nicholas is calling from Abuja. Yes, you are on, Mr. Nicholas.
Yes, my question is this.
Yes, go on. Sorry, the line went off. But Mr. Nicholas can still call again or can send your text message to through 0803-315-7493. Okay, there is another text message here. What is the perspective of the Great Message on Christmas and Easter celebrations? Also, is it true that the dead can see what is happening on earth? Now, to the first question. Yes, Christmas is meant to be a celebration of the love that the Almighty extended to mankind by sending his Son, Jesus Christ, to bring the world of salvation. So that this message, this love, this mercy that the Almighty showed mankind is forever repeated at that particular time. So it's a celebration of that love. That is what Christmas stands for. Then we talk about Easter after taking this call. Uche is calling from Nasarawa State. All right, Uche, you are on.
Yeah, thank you.
Good evening.
Yeah, good evening.
Yes. Go on with your question.
Okay, yeah, what I was asking is this. I want to know, for example, somebody who is an unbeliever. And then got married to a fellow unbeliever also. Then after everything, then the man gave his life to Christ and also tried to tell his wife to also give her life to Christ also. But since then, things have been somehow for both of them, you know, not to move on as a Christian. You know, when someone is Christian, their life will change. Not to become thing again, you know.
All right, okay.
If it is possible for that person, for the man to realize that his wife as an unbeliever before, whether he would divorce his wife to as a Christian man, whether he would divorce his wife to God or
all right. Okay, your question is understood. Now, you are trying to say that what you are trying to say is that if the two persons who started a journey, and along that line, one has changed his belief and the other has not changed his own belief, whether they should stay together. The issue here is, what is the basis of that union in the first place? Do they truly love each other? If there is true love between them, they won't have any issue about whether you have this religion, you don't have that religion. They won't have that issue at all. Because genuine love is actually a love of the soul. And when there is true love, the two persons have agreed to travel the same road and have a common goal. But when there is now the issue that we are not looking the same direction, and one says, I want to divorce, then already it shows that the basis for that union is not true love. Then it's better that they separate and go their separate ways. All right, Victor is calling from Badagry. All right, Victor, that's our last caller. Are you there?
Hello.
Yes. Yes, quickly.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
I'm Victor calling from Badagry.
Yes, quickly. Just quickly with your question.
Hello.
You are on. Quickly.
Okay. Sir, I'm sorry to ask this question, but I just committed a sin with my friend. And we commit abortion. How do I ask God to forgive me?
All right, now, if you have committed abortion, then you must... All right, if you have committed abortion, first you have to know that it is wrong. If you now know it's wrong, then what you must do from now is always try to do... Because we all commit sins. But once we know, recognize that it's wrong, and then we now wish to do good, then it is the good that we continue to do now that will help us to overcome all the evil that we have done. So we have come to the end of today's transmission. Let's remind you of public lectures coming up next Sunday, 20th of April 2014, venue, Assembly Hall, Greenland, Edu East, Lagos. Topic, The Word Rings Out. Also, on Sunday, 27th April, venue is OGS Plaza at Ajumon Bus Stop in Ajumon, Lagos. The topic is in Yoruba language. And on Sunday, 27th April 2014, venue Top Stars Nursery and Primary School along Mararaba Old Karu Road, Mararaba near Abuja. The topic is also based on the Great Mercy. Lectures are at 4 p.m. And at the lectures, you'll be free to ask any question about life and existence and creation in general. Now, for those who may still wish to interact with us after this program, you can reach us on our website, www.truthofliferadio.com. Email info@truthofliferadio.com. The telephone numbers to call 0703-315-7493. With my message, with my words, I lead to God and also to Jesus. However, in a more vital way than has been known in the past, and not as people have trimmed it through their propensity for spiritual comfort. Words of Abrushin, author of the Great Message. So until we meet next Sunday, I am Dr. Tunde Agboola, wishing you a good evening.